الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous classes I've been reading about الشروط الشرعية, the legislative conditions for business contracts to be considered valid and correct, the legislative conditions for business contracts to be valid and correct. And we have taken the first condition, which is التراضي بين الطرفين, that there must be a mutual consent between both parties, the buyer and the seller. And also we had taken in our previous class the second condition, which is أن يكون العاقد جائز التصرف, that the one who is involved in the contract, the one who is involved in the transaction, the buyer and the seller, both of them, they are considered permissible and lawful to do business and to be involved in contracts. We have seen this requires for a person to be of the age of puberty and of sound mind, and likewise have a level of maturity where they are able to deal with wealth, to deal with wealth in a reasonable and proper manner. So it seems that if a child below the age of 10 years were to buy or to sell, it would not be considered valid. It would not be considered valid. Although if a child had reached the age of 10 years, but before the age of puberty, if he were to buy or sell with the permission of his guardian, then the contract would be considered valid. Then the contract would be considered valid. And if the child, he reaches the age of puberty, and if the child, he reaches the age of puberty, yet he is not of a type of maturity where he's able to deal with money in a proper and reasonable manner, then likewise his wealth will not be given to him and his contracts will not be considered proper until all of these conditions they have been fulfilled. Also in our previous class we had taken the third condition. That was an yakuna al-mabi'u malan, and that is that the item for sale will be considered mal, it will be considered wealth. And what the people of knowledge, they mean by that, it would have a permissible and lawful benefit. And the thing, first and foremost, it would be useful. That which is being sold, it must be something that's useful. And the benefit from that thing, it must be something that's lawful. And that lawful benefit, it must be in an unrestricted manner. It must be in an unrestricted manner. So if a person, for example, he were to sell something that has no benefit, like certain types of insects, for example, they have absolutely no benefit, then this contract is not valid. But if a person, for example, he had a handful of dirt and he wants to sell it, so I'll sell you this dirt, for example, a handful of dirt he picked up from the ground, or a few rocks, that has absolutely no value. Absolutely no value. This is not valid. This is not valid in a legislative contract, because it's not allowed to sell something or to buy something that has no benefit. That has no benefit. And we mentioned the proof for that in the previous class, and that was the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam naha an ida'at al-mal, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade wasting money. It's not allowed to waste money, and definitely buying something that has no value is a waste of money. Is a waste of money, and this is not allowed in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then along with the fact that it must be beneficial, along with the fact that it must be beneficial, also that benefit must be lawful. That benefit must be lawful. So if there's something that has some type of use and is considered in general beneficial, but that thing is not lawful to benefit from, then buying it and selling it is not lawful. Then buying it and selling it is not lawful. Like alcohol, for example, someone may benefit from alcohol, but that benefit is not lawful. It's not allowed for a person to drink alcohol. It's not allowed for a person to drink alcohol. So the benefit that he takes from that is an unlawful benefit, and it's not permissible. So therefore, it's not allowed to sell it, nor is it allowed to buy it. So anything that has some type of use, yet it's forbidden, then likewise it's forbidden to sell it and to buy it. And the evidence for that? هذا حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأل إن الله إذا حرم على قوم شيئا حرم عليهم ثمنه, that if Allah he has forbidden people from something, then he has forbid them from the price of that likewise. Then he has forbid them from the price of that likewise. This was from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So if something is forbidden, then the price of that is forbidden likewise. Then the price of that is forbidden likewise. So someone who sells alcohol, for example, he would not be able to say, oh, I do not drink it. Oh, I do not drink it. No, the alcohol is forbidden, and the price of alcohol is forbidden. Rather, with regards to alcohol specifically, a number of individuals have been cursed in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who carries it, the one who transports it, the one who serves it, and the one who drinks it, the one who makes it. All of these people that have been cursed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's forbidden. So it's forbidden, and it's forbidden to sell it, and it's forbidden to buy it, and it's forbidden likewise to sell it to the disbelievers as well. It's not allowed to sell it to a Muslim, no doubt. And likewise, it's not allowed to sell it to those who disbelieve, because it's forbidden. It's forbidden. إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ بَيْعَ الْخَمْرِ. The narration of Jabir is very clear. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, which is in Sahih Bukhari Muslim, will come in the work that we're studying, inshaAllah, that indeed Allah, He forbade selling alcohol. He forbade selling alcohol. So this is from the evidences of that. Something maybe is beneficial, but it's not lawful. But it's not lawful. Then buying and selling, that is not lawful likewise. Then buying and selling, that is not lawful likewise. So these are from these affairs. And also that benefit that is lawful, it must not be restricted to certain circumstances. Meaning it must be a lawful, useful item in every case, in every circumstance. Because there are some things that may be considered permissible and lawful, but only in certain circumstances. But only in certain circumstances. Only in certain circumstances. For example, the flesh of the dead, or for example, the swine. Swine is unlawful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the price of swine likewise. Selling swine, this is not lawful. Because eating the pork is not lawful, so selling pork is not lawful. But if a person, for example, he was in a desert and he was in a state where he's in dire need and he's about to die, and he came across nothing but, and he had nothing except for a pig now, and he is in a state of dire necessity, it would be lawful for him in this state to eat the pig. Understand this part. Or if he came, or if all he found was dead, that the meat of the dead animal that was not slaughtered properly. At this time, in this dire necessity, it would be lawful for him to take his need from that and to eat from that. So this thing that's only permissible in certain circumstances, it's not lawful to sell it. It's not lawful to sell it. So someone will not say, oh, well, it's lawful. It's lawful, but the condition here to clarify, the condition here to clarify is that the item, it must have a benefit, and that benefit or that use, that usefulness, it must be lawful, and that lawfulness must be in an absolute sense, not only in certain circumstances. Not only in certain circumstances. And the example of the people of knowledge they mentioned for this specifically was with regards to the dog. Because the price of the dog likewise is forbidden and not allowed. And selling dogs is impermissible. And even owning a dog, even if one he did not sell it likewise, is impermissible. And there's a great threat with regards to that. Although there's an exception to a specific type of dog, and that is a dog that is trained, and that's trained to either hunt or to oversee the flock, or to guard the home, or to guard the farm, and the likes like this. So these dogs are allowed to obtain in these certain circumstances. If a person, he's a hunter, or if a person, he's a farmer, or he has sheep and a flock and the likes like this, or if he's in need of a guard. So this here, this condition that we're discussing now excludes the dog, because here the dog is only lawful in certain circumstances. So things that are lawful to benefit from only in certain circumstances, they're excluded from this affair. This was the point from the discussion of our previous class. Of our previous class. Today we take the fourth condition, أن يكون المبيع ملكا للبائع أو مأذونا له فيه وقت العقد. The fourth condition for the conditions of the business contract. the contract of buying and selling to be considered valid Islamically is that the item for sale, it must be in complete ownership of the one selling it, or he must be allowed to sell it at the time of the contract. The one who's selling the item, he must have complete ownership of that item. He must have complete ownership of that item, or he must have permission. He must have permission from the owner to sell it at the time of the contract. At the time of the contract. So sometimes maybe we misunderstand some of these terms or what is meant by them. What is intended by the contract? What is intended by the contract? It's something, because in America, when we think of contract, it's always somebody writes something on a dotted line, right? So the contract here is not necessarily writing, but to write the contract, this is only to emphasize. The written contract, this is only emphasis of the contract. This is only the emphasis of the contract. That doesn't necessarily have to mean that that's the contract. No, the contract is a bond and agreement between two parties. So to write it is to emphasize that. To write it is to emphasize that. But it's not a necessity. It's not a necessity. So if somebody says, "I'll sell you this phone for $100," he said, "Okay, I'll buy it." And they agree, khalas, the contract is done. The contract, he says, "I'll sell you this phone for $100." He said, "I'll take it. I'll buy it for $100. That's the contract. That's the contract. So now they have an agreement. So once they make this contract, then it's set. Now it's binding. He will give him the $100 and he'll give him the phone. He'll give him the phone. So this is the intent from the contract. So the item for sale, it must be in the complete ownership of the one selling it at the time of selling it. Or he must have permission from the owner to sell it. Or he must have permission from the owner to sell it at the time of the contract. At the time of the contract. So another way to word it, and يكون البائع مالكا للمبيع أو قائما مقام المالك. That the one who's selling the item, he's the owner of it. Or he is allowed to take the place of the owner. Or he's given permission to take the place of the owner. The one selling the item, he's the owner. The one selling the item, he must be the owner, or he must have permission from the owner to sell. He must have permission from the owner to sell it at the time of selling, at the time of the contract. So the one who takes the place, من الذي يقوم مقام المالك هو الوكيل أو الوصي أو الناظر أو الولي. These are the ones who will take the place of the owner. And meaning that he will be allowed to do the contract in place of the owner. The wakil, he's the one who is given permission. Somebody who the owner, he gave him permission and gave him authority to sell for him. To sell for him. He entrusted him with the right of selling for him. This one is called the wakil. This is known as al-wikala. And then we have al-wasi. And in the wakala, this will happen in the life of a person. So if somebody, he's alive, he said, "I'll give you permission to sell for me." Yani, so this person, he's the waqil, he has permission to sell for the owner in the life of the owner. In the life of the owner while he's alive. Then we have al-wasi. Al-wasi is the one who has also been entrusted to take care of the business of a person, but not while he's alive, rather after he's dead. So the waqil is someone who's been entrusted to take care of the business, to take care of some business of somebody else while they're alive. While they're alive, he's called al-waqil, the trustee. The trustee. And then the wasi, this is from the wasiyah. The wasiyah is the will and testament. So the will and testament, this is something that happens for the deceased and the right of the deceased. So the wasi is somebody also has been given permission to do business for an individual, but not while he's alive, rather after he's dead. After he's dead. So this person also, he will have Islamic authority to deal with the person's property. To deal with the person's property. So the wikala we're talking about now in buying and selling. And buying and selling. But it happens in many aspects. For example, slaughtering on that day of Eid. You can slaughter yourself or you can entrust somebody that's reliable to do that for you. Likewise, paying your zakat. You can distribute the money yourself to those who are qualified, or you can give the money that you owe to someone who is reliable and he can distribute it for you. This is called Abu Kale. This is calling him to entrust somebody else. So this is something that is lawful. There's a chapter about this itself. Just so that we understand here, that the wakil, he's the trustee. And the trustee, he's the one who has permission to dispose of somebody else's affairs and business while they're alive. And then we have the wasi. The wasi is the one who has that same permission, but after the death of the individual. After the death of the individual. Then we have a nadhir, he's the person who's in charge of an endowment. Man ju'ida ala al-waqf. Man ju'ida ala al-waqf. The person has been put in authority over an endowment. For example, somebody will set a waqf for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe he will build a masjid. Or maybe he will build a home for the orphans. Or maybe he will build a home for the needy. And this is a charity effort that somebody will do, and he will maybe do it in his lifetime and appoint somebody to be in charge of that. Or maybe he will leave it behind after his death as a charity, and then he will appoint somebody to be in charge of that. And that person who has been appointed to be in charge of the waqf, of the endowment, is called a nadhir. So this person here, likewise, he has permission to deal and to do business with this particular property. With this particular property. We understand this issue. We understand what endowments are? What is an endowment? These words maybe are not common in with us in America. An endowment. A waqf. Somebody who will open a charitable organization. Or a school. Or an orphanage. Or a place for the needy. Or he will, for example, build a masjid, and so on and so forth. He would do this charity effort, and it will be a continuous charity. And somebody will have to look over that organization. They have to look over that organization or look over that affair. And if somebody left an endowment, this is the waqf, like an orphanage. He built an orphanage with the intent to leave it after he died for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So something that's an endowment, that's a waqf, it can never be sold. It can never be sold, and it must remain for the sake of Allah, any forever. So someone will be in charge of that. This person, he will have the ability and the authority to sell or to do contracts in the best interest of that thing accordingly. And the fourth one, who will take the place of the original owner, is called Al-Wali. Al-Wali means the guardian. Al-Wali means the guardian. And the guardian is two types. The guardianship is two types. Al-Wilaya nu'ani. Al-wilaya al-amma wal-wilaya al-khasa, and the specific. There's a general type of guardianship and there's a specific type of guardianship. The general guardianship, meaning like the Muslim ruler or the Muslim judge. That we see in circumstances where a Muslim judge, he will step in somebody's business and force them to sell or force them to pay back debts and the likes like this. We have seen the circumstances when this will be considered lawful. So this is a type of guardianship that's general, any meaning at the hands of the Islamic authority in a Muslim country. In a Muslim country, under the hands of a Muslim ruler and a Muslim judge. And then there's the specific guardianship, al-wilaya al-khasa. And this is, for example, someone who has somebody is in charge of an orphan. Someone who's in charge of an orphan, for example. He's taking care of orphans, and they have money. So he's allowed to do dealings with that money in a manner that's proper. وَمَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. So this is something that is established. So the condition that we're discussing now, أَنْ يَكُونَ الْبَائِعْ مَالِكًا لِلْمَبِيعِ أَوْ قَائِمًا مَقَامًا الْمَالِكِ, that the person who is selling the item, he's the owner, or someone who is taking the place of the owner, or someone who's taking the place of the owner, yani lawfully and correctly. And these are the ones that we have discussed. So it's not allowed for a person to sell something he does not own. There's a condition that we discussed that would also clarify this. What was that? This is the one we're talking. Before the first one. At-taradi. Anybody want to be pleased with somebody selling your stuff without your permission? somebody just comes and sells your stuff for you like this, like without your permission, nobody's going to be happy for that. Nobody's going to, if somebody just, you came home and your car is missing, what happened? Oh, your neighbor sold it for you. Your neighbor sold the car. Your neighbor, what happened? Where's my phone? Oh, you're done. I sold it, actually. Barakallahu fik. Nobody's going to be happy. Nobody's going to be pleased with that. So somebody selling somebody else's property without their permission, in general, nobody's going to be pleased with that. Nobody's going to be pleased with that. So in any case, لا يصح أن يبيع الإنسان ما لا يملكه. It's not allowed for a person to sell something he does not own. That he does not own. It's been collected in the books of the Sunnah from the hadith of Hakim ibn Hizam رضي الله عنه. He says, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him about some issues in the market and some issues related to buying and selling. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يأتيني الرجل فيريد مني البيع ليس عندي أفأبتعه من السوق. He said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed a man, he will come to me, yani in the market, in my store, and he will want to purchase an item from me that I do not have. Should I go and buy it from the market? Should I go and buy it from the market? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا تبيع ما ليس عندك. Do not sell that which you do not have. Do not sell that which you do not have. Do not sell that which you do not have. So the meaning of do not sell that which you do not have, yani do not sell that which you do not own. لا تبيع ما لا تملك. Do not sell anything that you do not own. Do not sell anything that you do not own. So the principle here, the people of knowledge, they mentioned, لا ينعقد البيع إلا من مالك أو مأذون له. That the contract will not be binding or considered valid except from the owner of the item or someone who is allowed, someone who has permission and is allowed to sell it. Allowed to sell it. So who is the Malik? Who is the owner? The Malik هو الذي تكون السلعة في ملكه شرعا. The one who's considered the owner is the one who the item is in his possession legislatively. Legislatively. Because we have to understand this is about the legislation of Allah. Because some people, maybe he has something in his hands and he says, this is mine, I own it. But in reality, the legislation does not affirm that ownership for him. For example, if someone stole something and he had it unrightfully, maybe he says it's mine, it's not his, it's somebody else's, he stole it. So the legislation does not affirm that item for him and does not consider that ownership. So the owner, the one who has the legislative permission to sell an item, he's the one who owns it legislatively. He's the one who owns it legislatively. And it came into his possession and under his authority by lawful means. By lawful means. And Malik وَلَذِي تَكُونُ السِّلْعَةُ فِي مِلْكِهِ شَرْعًا. The one who the item is in his ownership legislatively. Legislatively. If this is the case, and if the person, he didn't even have it in his ownership, if he didn't have it in his ownership in the first place, then how could he sell it? Then how could he sell it? So you can, it's not allowed to sell something you do not own. It's not allowed to sell something that you do not own, that you do not own. So if it's in his hands and he apparently owns it, but it's not according to the legislation, then likewise it's not lawful for him to sell it. Again, like the one who stole something. So if he has it in his hand, he's claiming that he owns it, he doesn't truly own it. So the contrary, if he were to sell it, it's not considered lawful. The contract is not considered lawful. So the contract will not be valid except by the owner, the one who owns the thing lawfully, the one who owns the item lawfully, the one who owns the item lawfully. You understand this point? Alhamdulillah. This is about the owner, the ownership. As for al-ma'zunu lahu fi at-tasarruf, the one who is allowed to sell, yani on behalf of someone else. This is those four that we discussed: the wakil, and the wasi, and the nadhir, and the wali. Nam al-wakil, al-wasi, wal-nadhir, wa al-wali. And we've seen the details with regards to that. So it's allowed for these individuals to deal with this person's money or his wealth according to that which is in the best interest of that person, according to that which is in the best interest of that person. These are the people who have a legislative permission to buy and sell other people's property. Therefore, who were they? Al-Wakil. Who is that? The Wakil is the one who? He's the trustee. Someone who has been entrusted on behalf of somebody else to buy or sell for them. And in their lifetime. In their lifetime. If it's after their death, Al-Wasi. He's called Al-Wasi. And if somebody is in charge of an endowment, he's called Al-Nadhir. Al-Nadhir. And somebody who has guardianship over another, Al-Wali. Al-Wali, Al-Wali. And that is in two manners. Any of the general way, the general manner, which is under the Muslim government, in a specific manner, meaning a man in his home, and someone under a person's authority as an individual. As an individual. So the people of knowledge, they mention Al-Ba'i' lis-sil'ati lahu halan. The one who's going to sell an item, he has two circumstances. Two circumstances. Somebody who's going to sell something, he will be from two circumstances. We save the questions till the end. Number one, an yabi'a as-sil'ata limaslahati nafsihi. Any the person who's going to sell an item is the person who's going to sell an item is going to be in two circumstances. The first one, someone who's going to sell something for his own personal benefit. Somebody who's selling something for his own personal benefit. Right? The second one would be then someone is going to sell something for the benefit of someone else. So this is the case. The person, he's either going to be selling an item for his own benefit, or he's going to be selling the item for the benefit of somebody else. So this is the situation with regards to the seller. So the one who is going to sell something for his own personal benefit, it's not allowed for him to sell anything except that he owns. Except what he owns. It's not allowed for him to sell anything except what he owns. Somebody who wants to sell something for his own personal gain, it's not allowed for him to sell anything except what he owns. Except what he owns. There's no ma'dhun fihi here. There's no somebody who's selling something for his own personal interest, for his own personal gain. There's no somebody allowed here. So anyone who's going to sell something for his own personal interest, it must be something that he owns. It must be something that he owns. You understand this? Okay, this is the number one. And then the one who's going to sell something for someone else. So he's going to sell someone for someone else. Then, the one who's going to sell something for someone else, then he must have permission. He must have permission from the owner to sell it. He must have permission from the owner to sell it. And then there's the issue here of someone who sold something. He sold something for somebody else without their permission. Without their permission. But then later the owner approved of that. Then the contract would be valid. So if somebody sold something for somebody else, if somebody sold something for somebody else, then it will, without their permission, then it goes back to their permission. When they find out later, if they approve of it, then it's valid, and if they disapprove of it, then the contract is void and nullified. The contract is void and nullified, and the person, he will get his item back. So again, this is an important narration with regards to this, the hadith of Hakim ibn Hizam. لا تبيع ما ليس عندك. لا تبيع ما ليس عندك. Do not sell that which you do not have. And the meaning again, لا تبيع ما لا تملك. Do not sell that which you do not own. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he entrusted people, yani, to buy and sell for him. We'll see some examples of that. And likewise, the legislation has allowed for the guardian of the orphan to deal with his wealth in a manner that is good, and a manner that is just and properly, that is just and proper. And so this is all evidences, yani, with regards to this. And the issue of the wakil or the wikala, this is to facilitate and make it easy for the people. Because maybe sometimes a person, he has things he wants to sell, but he doesn't have time to sell them, or it's difficult for him to sell them. So he would entrust someone else to sell them for him. So this is to make affairs easy. And had it been restricted that every person who wants to sell something, he must sell it by himself, and he cannot allow someone else to sell for him, this is going to bring hardship upon the people. And the legislation has come with ease and removing hardship, and removing hardship. So what is the condition we're discussing? That the one, the condition is that whoever's going to sell something, he must be an owner of that thing, or have permission from the owner at the time of the contract. Of the contract. So if somebody sells something they did not own, what's the ruling on the contract? It's invalid. It's invalid. The contract is invalid. It's not lawful. If the contract is invalid, that means it's not lawful. You understand this? Okay, so for example, today, some people, they want to buy a vehicle. But they can't pay up front. So they want to pay in payments. Is it allowed to pay in payments? If it's part of the agreement to pay in payments, any set payments that are set without interest, yes, this is lawful. What's the proof of that? We didn't discuss it directly, inshallah it will come, but we discussed it in general. You should know the answer. Al-asl al-ibaha. The origin is that buying and selling is lawful. So the aspects of buying and selling, the origin is that they're lawful. So it's allowed to pay right now, it's allowed to pay later, if you agree upon that, in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's allowed to pay in installments, likewise. But there are details in this. Inshallah, we take some of them. Now we just want to take this issue here. So sometimes a person, he will go to an individual who has money, like a bank, for example. And most banks today, they use interest. So, but we'll say in our example, they don't use interest. Because if using interest is going to exclude. We can't go to the bank and take a loan from them if they take interest. So this is not lawful. But so that if we're going to go to a bank that doesn't take interest, he says, I want to buy a car. And then the bank says, okay, what car do you want? And he said, I want this car. And they say, okay, then sign this contract. And after you sign the contract, right, that you're going to pay this much money and this much amount for this many months, so on and so forth. After you sign the contract, what do? They go buy the car. When did they buy the car? After you sign the contract. Would they buy the car before you sign the contract? No, they do not buy the car before you sign the contract. This contract is unlawful. This contract is invalid and unlawful. Understand? Why? Because the bank is selling something they do not own. The bank is selling something they do not own. This is not lawful. لا تبيع ما ليس عندك. يعني لا تبيع ما لا تملك. لا تبيع ما ليس عندك. ما ليس عندك. Do not sell that which you do not have. And you mean do not sell something you do not own. Do not sell something you do not own. Likewise, there's other narrations in Salah, we take them, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an ribhi ma lam yudman. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade the profit of something that's not guaranteed. Something that's not guaranteed. It's not in your possession. It's not guaranteed. And if something happened to the car, it's going to be on the person who bought the car, not on you. You don't even own it yet. Right? You don't even own it yet. So you're not even guaranteed the car. Not even guaranteed the car. So it's not allowed to take profit from this item that you do not own, and it's under your guarantee. It's under your guarantee. You understand? So the point is now that this contract is not allowed. So to go to a person, for example, and say, I want to buy a car. You purchase the car for me, and I'll pay you in payments. Is this lawful? How can this be lawful? How can we solve the problem that we're discussing? You understand? We see how the banks do it, right? Which is not lawful. How would this transaction become lawful? How could it be? How could it fit the limits of the legislation? The bank has to buy the car first without any contract. Or anything whatsoever. That means that the car has to come into complete ownership of the bank, and the person has to be completely free to purchase it or not purchase it as he wills. as he wills. If there's any stipulations there, then it becomes unlawful. If there's any stipulations there, then it becomes unlawful. They're selling something they did not own. They're selling something they did not own. You understand? So if somebody was going to do this, then he would say, okay, I'll buy the car. I'll buy the car. And then he will buy the car. But the person who was going to buy the car in payments, he's still completely free to buy it or not buy it. There can't be any contract before the car is owned by the one who's going to sell it. You understand? Will the banks do that? No, the banks don't do that. So there's so many types of ways to get cars today, that any fast ways to have a car all of a sudden, like a lot of people, they really want, and it's dangerous. You have to be careful. You have to be cautious. So although the origin is that these affairs are permissible, there are aspects that are impermissible. And unfortunately, in these lands and in these days, many of the ways that are used to get money and do business, especially on a high level, are not permissible. Are not permissible. So you have to be cautious. You have to be cautious, and you have to ask before you make anything major, or you get involved in something that you're not aware of. You're not aware of. So the way to sell this car, for example, is that the person, he will go and buy the car, and then he will, after buying the car, give the person the option. Well, do you like? I have the car now. Well, do you still want to buy it? If he says yes, then he can buy it, and they can come to an agreement on the payments, the price of the car, and the payments of the car, and the time span of those payments. And then they agree upon that, and they write the contract. It's all good. Alhamdulillah. It's all good. Alhamdulillah. So understand? As for to have a contract before purchasing the item, then this is not allowed, and it's considered selling that which you do not own. It's not allowed to sell something you do not own. You do not own. So alhamdulillah, I think this issue is clear. There's an issue here that people have not, as they mentioned, underneath this topic, and they call it masala to bay' al-fuduli. Bay' al-fuduli. Al-fuduli. The contract of the al-fuduli. And al-fuduli huwa alladhi yatasarrafu fi milki ghayrihi bi ghayri idhnihi. The al-fuduli, this is a description of a person who will do business on behalf of somebody else without their permission. To do business on behalf of somebody else without their permission. We discussed it briefly, so you already know the ruling. What is that? Somebody who does business on behalf of somebody else without their permission. He went and sold something for somebody else without their permission. What's the ruling? Huh? Initially it's not allowed. But what's the condition of the contract?
If the person agrees.
Is it automatically invalid? Huh? The contract is on hold, huh? The contract is pending. Yani mu'allaq. It's pending. If the original owner agrees to it, then the contract is valid. If the original owner does not agree to it, then the contract is invalid, and and it's nullified, and the items must go back to the original owners. So this is the example. So for example, if a person, he has a phone and he wants to sell it for, let's say, $500, and his friend knows he has the phone and he wants to sell it for $500. For example, his roommate. And then somebody comes by and they want to buy the phone, and they're like, you know, I need it. I'll pay $600 right now. And he's not there, but his roommate's there. The owner is not there, but the roommate is there, and the roommate knows that he wants to sell it for $500, and now his roommate is facing a man who wants to offer $600 for it. Or even if he wanted to offer $500 for it. Right? Well, is it allowed for him? Huh? If there's, the people of Allah, as they mentioned, if there's circumstantial evidence that he knows it's in the best interest of that person, and most likely he's not going to mind whether he would prefer that, then it's lawful. Then it's lawful. And it's lawful for him to do the contract. But the contract is still pending. It's still pending until the owner approves of it. We understand the issue? So the origin is, no, you cannot sell anything for anybody else. When would it be lawful? If you have circumstantial evidence that it may be in the best interest of the owner, that you know. then it will be lawful for you, inshallah, in that circumstance. The origin is that it's not lawful. The origin is that it's not lawful. There's a beautiful narration with regards to this collected by al-Bukhari from the hadith of Urwa ibn Abi al-Ja'ad al-Bariqi radiyallahu anhu. Urwa ibn Abi al-Ja'ad al-Bariqi radiyallahu anhu. It's mentioned, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطاه دينارا يشتري له به شاتم, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave him one dinar, in order for him to go buy him with that dinar a sheep. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave this young man a dinar in order for him to go and use that dinar to buy one sheep. This is a proof for an issue we just discussed. What is it? The wakil, the wikala. The Prophet ﷺ entrusted this young man, radiallahu anhu, to buy for him a sheep. Gave him the money and sent him out with his permission to purchase for him a sheep. So this is the issue of the wikala is established in this narration, and others likewise. So he went out. He says, فَاشْتَرَى لَهُ بِهِ شَيْتَيْنِ. He took the dinar, and he's supposed to go buy one sheep. He went out and bought two sheep. فَبَعَ إِحْدَاهُمَا بِدِنَارِ. And he sold one of them for a dinar. وَجَاءَهُ بِدِنَارِ وَشَيْتَيْنِ. And then he came back to the Prophet ﷺ with a dinar and a sheep. You understand? He gave him one dinar to go buy a sheep. He took the one dinar, he went and bought two sheep. And then he sold one sheep and he came back to the Prophet ﷺ with a sheep and a dinar. This is one of those, duluni ala as-suk. Show me where the market is. And he's one of those people, he's business minded. He gave him a dinar, he says, this, we'll get one sheep. It's like, well, I can get two. He got two and sold one and came back with the dinar and the sheep. So he brought back the sheep and the dinar. So there was great profit for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, فَدَعَ لَهُ بِالْبَرَكَ فِي بَيْئِهِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, supplicated for him to be full of blessing in his buying and selling, in his business. وَكَانَ لَوْ اشْتَرَعَ تُرَابَ لَرَابِحَ فِيهِ. It was mentioned about him after that, Urwa radiallahu anhu, that if he were to sell dirt, we know it's not lawful, but if he were to sell dirt, he would profit in that. And he just says, to emphasize, and the blessing of the Prophet's supplication for him was very beneficial, to the extent that it said about him, had he sold dirt, he would profit from that. So this is the proof for the issue that we're discussing. So he had permission to buy one sheep, but he bought two, and then he sold one of them, right? He only had permission to buy a sheep. So what did he do? He bought two of them. And then, along with that, he sold one of them. Who did the two sheep belong to? The Prophet Muhammad. They don't belong to him. He's only entrusted with a dinar to buy one sheep. He used that dinar, bought two sheep. So those two sheep now are the original owners. You understand? And then he sold one of them without the permission of the original owner. So without permission of the original owner, he bought two instead of one. And then he sold one of them also without having permission of the original owner. And then he came back. And then whenever he came back with the sheep and the dinar, the Prophet ﷺ affirmed him and allowed that. So this is the issue that we're discussing. This is the proof for the issue that we're discussing. It's called Masalatu Bay' al-Fuduli. Al-Fuduli هو الذي يتصرف في ملك غيره بغير إذنه. الذي يتصرف في ملك غيره بغير إذنه. The one who deals with other people's business without their permission is called Al-Fuduli. So his contract of buying and selling is based upon the permission of the original owner. Based upon the permission before it's pending. It's the contract is pending until there is either permission or rejection from the original owner. If somebody he sells phones, for example, and somebody comes to purchase a phone from him, and the model he doesn't have. The model he wants is not there at that moment. It's not there at that moment. But he knows his friend around the corner has that very same model in his shop. Can he tell the buyer, okay, give me your money? Can he tell the seller? Can he tell, excuse me, the buyer, yes, the one who's buying it. The one he's buying, can he take his money?
هذا من بيع السمك كامل الوصف. عنده الوصف الكامل.
No, he has to. He can't sell something he doesn't own. This is the exact same thing that Hakim ibn Hisam is asking. He said, people come to me in the market and ask me for things that I don't have. Should I go get it from the market? And should I buy it from the market? Huh? No, this is not allowed. It's not allowed to take his money. That upon taking his money, the contract has established. So give me your money. So now this is he's taking his money. So now that he's selling something he doesn't have. So how would you avoid falling into that which is impermissible? How could you do this in a lawful manner? I'll be right back. If you like, you can wait for me. I'll be right back, inshallah. And then without any conditions between the two of you. Huh? He keeps his money and there's no contract. Oh, you need that phone? Inshallah, I'll be right back. One moment. And you can leave and go buy it yourself. And you own it, right? And then you come back and then sell it to him. And say, if he's still there, then alhamdulillah, you sell it to him. If he's gone, then he's gone. You understand? So there can be no agreement between you and the person who come to buy it. This is the point, because you can't sell something that you do not own. So if he came in, he wants to buy something, you don't have it, but you know around the corner there's somebody that has, you can't take his money and you can't do the contract and then run and go grab it real fast. Because you can't sell something that you don't own, and you can't make profit from something that you cannot guarantee. You cannot guarantee. You cannot make profit off things that it's not in your possession. You don't even guarantee it yet. What if you get there, it's not there? What if you get there and it's closed? What if you get there and it's broken? What if you get there? What if you get there? All of this is not lawful. This is from what? Al-gharr wa jahala. And this also leads to al-niza' wa khilaf. It's going to lead to disputes and arguing. So this is not lawful. So what he will do, he can say, if you like, you can wait here, I'll be right back, inshallah. And he can go get it. Or he can wait 1 second, and he'll make a phone call, bring that phone over here. And he'll buy the phone, and then sell it to him. And then sell it to him, like this. And once he gets it in his possession, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Or if he gets permission from the other person to sell it, likewise, alhamdulillah. This is okay as well. You understand? But you can't sell something that he does not own. He can't sell something that he does not own. Naam. Alhamdulillah. After this, we have the fifth condition. Al-Qudratu ala al-Taslim. Al-Qudra ala al-Taslim. To have the ability to deliver the item. You need to actually hand over the item from both the buyer and the seller. The seller, he has to actually have the ability to hand over the item for sale. And likewise, the one who is purchasing, he must have the ability to hand over the price. He must have the ability to hand over the price, and inshallah we discuss this condition in our class to come. While we're waiting, we can take any comments or questions or corrections while we're waiting for the Iqama.
Did you take the deposit? Somebody ordered a car from you or whatever?
No, because you don't own it. You're selling something you don't own. But you can't sell, so this is something that هذا لا يعنيك. You understand? You can't get involved in things that you don't own. So this is, you tell him, I don't want to sell these cars. This is over my head. You understand? You want to sell something that you can't, that's over your head, obviously. You understand? You can't get involved in the likes of these things. Allahu
a'lam. Huh? Someone wanted to reserve Eid, especially here. He cannot hold it at home. Like anything, poles, lambs. He cannot hold it at home. He wanted to come, he told you, can you guarantee me Eid? And then you're going to go to the farm and buy the Eid and keep it somewhere else in a farm.
But he owns that. That farm, he owns that land.
But he come to you as a middle, like steward.
Uh-huh.
I own a store. Someone will come to tell me they want Eid.
They want Eid.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Someone like to give him like sacrifice. And they want to tell me, and I tell them I can't guarantee you the price till I pay.
Uh-huh.
But they put deposit, they have to make sure they're going to have Eid. They're going to have sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have it in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Especially it's in the same thing in the processor house. This what is it, sometimes some condition, Allahu
A'lam. Wallahu A'lam. Wallahu A'lam. Inshallah, Nuraja al-Masala. There's limits. So just because, oh, I can't do it except, like for example, in America, you can't do it except for this. If I can't do business except for like this, you can't do business then. do a different business. You know, I can't. There's not excuses. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are limits. There's limits that are set, and then we're tried with desires and things that look real good, and we're tempted. But if it's lawful, you get involved. If it's not lawful, you don't get involved. You don't get involved. Yeah. Allah. Allah. Hada. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.